Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure on this Friday to welcome several guests to our podcast. Before I get to that though, I do not want to miss saying happy birthday to one of our custodians, Miss Bertha Nolan. Bertha, happy birthday and thank you for all you do for Mountain Brook Baptist. Okay, on this Friday, June 4th, we have with us some special guests. Miss Meredith Stutz and her daughter, Taylor, will be reading the scripture for us. And after they read, we'll have a time where we can talk together about things of life and faith. Taylor and Meredith, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us, Mary. We've been looking forward to this. Our reading today is from Luke chapter 20, verse 27 through chapter 21, verse 4. There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third took her, and likewise, all seven left no children and died. Afterwards, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as a wife. And Jesus said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to the age and to the resurrection for the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush where he calls the Lord of the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Then some of the scribes answered, Teacher, you have spoken well, for they no longer dared to ask him any questions. But he said to them, How can they say that the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. David thus calls him Lord. So how is he his son? And in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feast, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on.
The reading of Psalms 20, May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices still. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May he shout for joy over your salvation. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your pretensions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand, some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They clasp and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the King. May he answer us when we call.
And now a reading from Job 20. Then Zophar, the Naamathite, answered and said, Therefore, my thoughts answer me because of my haste within me. I hear censure that insults me, and out of my understanding, a spirit answers me. Do you not know this from old, since man was placed on earth, that the exulting of the wicked is short, and the joy of the godless but for a moment? Though his height mount up to the heavens and his head reaches to the clouds, he will perish forever like his own dung. Those who have seen him will say, "Where is he?" He will fly away like a dream and not be found. He will be chased away like a vision of night. The eye that saw him will see him no more, nor will his place any more behold him. His children will seek the favor of the poor, and his hand will give back his wealth. His bones are full of his youthful vigor, but it will lie down with him in the dust. Though evil is sweet in his mouth, though he hides it under his tongue, though he is loath to let it go, he holds it in his mouth. Yet his food is turned in his stomach. It is the venom of cobras within him. He swallows down riches and vomits them up again. God casts them out of his belly. He will suck the poison of cobras. The tongue of a viper will kill him. He will not look upon the rivers, the streams flowing from honey and curds. He will give back the fruit of his toil and will not swallow it down. From the profit of his trading, he will get no enjoyment. For he has crushed and abandoned the poor. He has seized a house that he did not build. Because he knew no contentment in his belly, he will not let anything in which he delights escape him. There was nothing left after he had eaten. Therefore, his prosperities will not endure. In the fullness of his sufficiencies, he will be in distress. The hand of everyone in misery will come against him. To fulfill his belly to the full, God will send his burning anger against him and rain it upon him into his body. He will flee from an iron weapon. A bronze arrow will strike him through. It is drawn forth and comes out of his body. The glittering point comes out of his gallbladder. Terrors come upon him. Utter darkness is laid up for his treasure. A fire not fanned will devour him. What is left in his tent will be consumed. The heavens will reveal his iniquity, and the earth will rise up against him. The possessions of his house will be carried away, dragged off in the day of God's wrath. This is the wicked man's portion from God, the heritage decreed for him by God.
Thank you so much, Meredith and Taylor, for joining us for the podcast today. I had a chance to sit down with Taylor for a few minutes and interview her, and here are some of the questions that we talked about. What is something fun you have done with Miss Sharon recently?
When we were at Bible drill, we were by ourselves and we've been practicing the books of the Bible, and I've learned all the way to Genesis through Revelations.
Wow.
What do you like about church?
I like that there's lots of new people you can meet, and it's fun, and there's nice people, and your feelings sometimes get hurt, but you always can make it better.
What is one way that you serve at church?
Passing out the bulletins.
Yes, I see you many Sunday mornings in the narthex, and it makes me so happy. I have one last question. Tell me about your dog.
Bear is very protective. He will bite, but unless you're at home by yourself with him, he will love you.
What does he love it when you do the most?
Scratch his ears. And belly rubs. He loves belly rubs. And he likes treats.
After my time with Taylor, Meredith and I had some time to chat.
Meredith, thank you for joining us today. I'm wondering how you came to faith, and tell us a little bit about your story.
No, I'm so excited to be here, Mary. Thank you. I came to faith at Mountain Brook Baptist Church, grew up in the church. In fact, I think Dr. Moby said one time I was the first person to ever join the church while standing in the baptism pool. We were not morning people and couldn't make it to early church and had to get in before the Christmas tree went up. But I came to a saving faith in Jesus here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church by seeing the love of so many in the congregation, how they truly lived out their walk with Jesus in the faith that they had. When I was younger, my brother had cancer, and seeing how the church loved us during that time was truly the hands and feet of Christ. And I think that's something that I've continued to see in my life here at Mountain Brook Baptist, including now as this time where I've journeyed to become a foster mom, and how well the church has loved me and my girls.
I'm glad you mentioned fostering, because that's something I want our church to know more about your journey so that we can pray alongside you. Tell us how you began thinking about fostering and then your journey to now with your precious girls, Taylor and Heaven.
It's hard to say when I really felt the call to foster. I think it's something that's been on my heart for a while. Looking back through scripture, one of my verses that I really like is Micah 6:8, where it says, "He told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and walk humbly with your God." That, along with other verses throughout scripture where we're called to defend the widows and the orphans and the oppressed, I felt called through my work as a social worker, and realized that I could do more outside of a 9-to-5 job. And I love kids, and for a while felt that that was something that I could do. My original journey was to foster, but the Lord has placed it on my heart to be a forever home for my girls. And so we are in the process of adoption at this point.
Tell us about Taylor and Heaven and a little bit about their personalities.
So I would say spunky and feisty are definitely words that describe both the girls. Taylor is 7 and full of personality and mature way beyond her years in some areas. She loves to have fun and be a kid, but can also tell you what she's thinking when she's thinking it. Heaven just turned 2, and her little personality is coming out. As most 2-year-olds right now, her favorite word is no. But she loves to sing and dance and loves bubbles and is loving life in the ELC, making all new friends.
You mentioned supporting you earlier, that that's something that the church has done so well. But I want to know, what are some practical ways that people, if they aren't going to foster themselves, ways that they could come alongside foster families to be a support to them?
I know for me that prayer has been huge. People praying for us, letting know that they're praying for us, taking time to get to know the girls. Oftentimes in fostering situations, I may know some information and I can't share that. And part of that is to protect the girls. But it's also, it's part of their story that one day they can tell. And Taylor will tell you, so she's not shy about that. So sometimes filtering that with her is something that we've had to work on. But I think taking an interest in them, it's hard because at Mount Brook Baptist Church, it's a church of people a lot who have grown up in the church. And there's families that are here. So when someone new comes in, there's a lot of that history that they may be missing or some of those connections. But people making the girls feel connected has been huge, and helping me to help them has been a huge part. Tangible ways, people bringing food. I know that Taylor is looking forward to when I don't have to cook. So that's humbling in and of itself right there for me. But doing that, inviting them over, getting them involved in things, making them feel like this is their church home has been huge. But I think there's so much that families in general, we're all trying to keep it together right now. And knowing that people out there are praying for you helps immensely.
You have been such a faithful friend to me since we came on staff in 2008. We've been through a lot of youth ministry things together, and you still serve in the youth ministry. Tell us about your ministry there and some of the things that are exciting about the summer.
So I love working with the students in the youth ministry. If you would have told me 15 years ago that I'd be working with middle schoolers, I'd be like, you're funny. But that's where the Lord has led me. And I love watching our students grow from the ministry level and some of the immature things that they do to some of the immature things they do when they're seniors, but they at least think about it a little bit more before they do it. We have some exciting things going back on this summer, which I'm excited about, to have a little bit more normalcy for them. I think so many of our kids missed out on so much, but just in-person fellowship is what I'm looking forward to the most, and how much that has been missed by so many. And I think for our kids, that's something that they're really longing for.
Tell all that are listening today, what is a fun fact about you?
So a fun fact that I can tell that won't give away my 2 truths and a lie if I'm ever called up to play that game would be that I have a spiritual talent that the Lord has given me, that I can sleep pretty much anywhere, anytime. So that has been a true blessing with having kids and working in youth ministry. When I'm ready to go to sleep, it's very easy for me to do so. Thankfully, that's never happened while I'm driving. So that's a blessing in and of itself.
Meredith, would you pray for us as we close the podcast?
Dear gracious God, thank you so much for this day and the days that you're giving us, Lord. I pray that we are like your servants in Scripture, and we know that you are good. We see the wickedness around us, Lord, but we pray that you will protect us and be with us and point us in the right direction. Allow these words to be meditation in our hearts and to grow us closer to you. In your name we pray. Amen.